Living La Vida Lockdown. It's Living La Vida Lockdown. It's Living La Vida Lockdown.
Well, thank you, Ishan, for that definitely copyright compliant theme tune there. Beautiful. Like, there's no way we're getting sussed for that. That's golden. Nowhere near the actual fucking tune. Welcome to Living La Vida Lockdown, the online comedy chat show hosted by me, Rob Mulholland. Today, another awesome lineup of guests. We have got to my side here, we've got Jamie Hutchinson.
Hello, everyone.
There we go. Beautiful. And down below, we've got Tez Ilias.
That's this guy.
And in this corner, we've got Ishan Akbar.
Wagwan!
Unreal intro. Like, guys, the way this is set up on screen, by the way, this really looks like one of those graphs. You know, when you get, like, authoritarian versus libertarian and, like, economic versus social, like, on a political graph. This looks like, basically, we've gone by colour shade and weight.
Where am I?
You're on brown skinny.
Oh, he's not skinny.
Yeah, but like Ishan, comparatively.
Shut your mouth, Ishan. It's all relative.
Yeah, right now it's very relative. And like, yeah, Tez is on this side, I'm afraid. He's jumped over to this.
I guess Jamie and I are the chunky ones here, to be fair.
You've guessed correctly.
It's, Rob books a very diverse lineup.
I do, of weight.
and two skin tones.
That's it, mate. I'm not having any others. That's what I keep it. No
I'm
women.
Paler than Rob, though.
Yeah, when you look it on this, like, in, yeah, I think in real life, like, I don't know if it's that far different. To be fair, like, I'm a very pale man, but I think I'm just better lit than you currently, Jamie.
Yeah, I just look gaunt though in real life. Anyway,
yeah, it's not far off your current look on screen. Like, you know, this does look like a prison video chat talking to you.
This is a prepaid call from Pitch.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just get this picture on the screen. Looks like CCTV from someone who's been robbing steaks from the co-op.
And using those steaks to hit his wife with.
Wow. Listen, guys, I'm on CNN now. I don't know if I can.
We've got big time Tez now. Got international.
These are views do not represent mine, okay? These are their own views.
Oh, yeah, because it's going to be our views that will get you shit on the internet, Tez. Yeah. Because you never post anything that causes people to be annoyed with you.
Yeah, Tez, never.
Yeah, his Twitter never.
So everyone's just very agreeable with everything that I tweet.
Yeah. Like, what I really enjoyed was like the quick turnaround from chatting to Tez of like, you know what, I think I might wind it in a bit on social media, you know, this guy's not agree. The next day, Tez is like in a Twitter war with Katie Hopkins. He ends up on CNN.
You know what? There is a direct correlation between Tez saying, I don't want to do any activism anymore, to something going fucking crazy online.
As soon as he's like an old cop out your Tez, you're like, I'm out. Yeah. I want my job.
I get real back in. You know what? That one went mental though. 50,000 retweets. It was worth it.
Yeah, man, mate, I'll take a fucking death threat or two for 50k retweets, 100%.
So you always come out looking good as well if you go into war with Hopkins. You have to
That's
be a
true.
Kind of cunt.
That's true. I think I did win that. I think I won that exchange as well.
Yeah, you definitely did, man. Isn't she, like, homeless? And, like, she's... Look, right, I don't mean to mock anyone for their diseases or whatever, except her, but she's riddled with epilepsy, so you win in the long run.
Yeah, she's homeless, disabled, and still comes across as a cunt.
That is impressive.
That is good going.
Although when you're
it's
reeling
a good
that
level
off,
of being a cunt. I mean,
it really is
really
top tier.
Being a cunt,
and man. If she said she was a lesbian, you'd be like, probably.
Yeah.
Can we just clarify the view situation again?
No, that was Rob's views. Oh, I'm just paraphrasing.
Views, yeah. No, I agree.
Rob's probably edited that bit out now of the podcast where he said that, and I've just paraphrased him.
Yeah.
Smartly.
I really should do that. I should cut one of these up like really jankily and just make people say outrageous shit.
Yeah.
As if I can be asked editing.
Well, what I'm saying is, she on appearance and the lifestyle she's living, she's a left wing dream, but she is the worst person alive.
Yeah, she's fucking up there, man. Like, the thing is, I don't even think she even believes half the shit she says. It's just like, it's just a way of making a fucking living, isn't it?
Yeah, she's a panto villain, isn't she? She just plays up to it well.
Yeah, it'd be fine if everyone thought that.
Yeah, the problem is, yeah, like a lot of her fans are people who really believe it. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Like if you're at the panto and like Jafar came on and went, "Oh, I'm a bad," and then several people started punching other people in the audience, you'd be like, "Oh, I think he might be a bad egg, that guy."
Do you know what? Last Christmas, I went to my first panto, and it was Aladdin, obviously. And it was based
How
in
did
Peking.
That carpet fucking get you up?
And it was based in Peking. It was an absolute shit show of a show.
Oh, no, you know, Aladdin is originally based in China.
What? Is it?
Yes.
Oh, that is some white people making that, isn't it?
Yeah, blame that's them not... as well.
No, it was a story that was the story was told by an Arab, like originated in the Middle East, but yeah. It was based in the Far East.
Right.
Oh,
well, so they got white people have heard a brown guy telling a story and gone, well, it must be in one of those brown countries.
Well, they were probably doing Mulan and they went, well, we can't have two.
That's it, yeah. Yeah.
Pocahontas has already ripped it. Fuck that, yeah. That'd be another.
She was my yeah, first cartoon crush, Pocahontas.
Your first, like, was that your first, like, awakening was Pocahontas?
Before April O'Neil.
No, sorry. My second, the first was Jessica Rabbit. Oh.
Classic, well,
that,
yeah.
she doesn't count.
What do you mean?
Because that is cartoon porn. That is manga.
She's universally just accepted as being like, no one's gone, oh, wow, okay, quirky. Everyone's gone, yeah.
Okay, fine.
I always like Velma because she seemed gettable.
Who was that?
Velma. I like that.
Oh, you've got your glasses, have you? Yeah.
Did you not fancy April O'Neil in Turtles? She was fit.
I didn't watch that, mate.
Yeah. Like, I do enjoy that Jamie, even in his fantasies, keeps it realistic.
Oh, you got to, mate. You got to. You can't, because you're never going to have a dream come true if you don't dream realistically.
That's fair. Like, I don't remember ever really, like, fancying it like a cartoon when I was a kid. I think, like, my first, like, real, like, the first time I remember being like, oh, this is what horny is the I Just Can't Get You Out of My Head video, Kylie Minogue. Like, that video was an awakening for me. Like,
how old are you?
Like, I'm 31.
Because that video was, like, 2000.
This is when I was, like, I must have been, like, 11 or 12. I'm talking about when it really kicked in.
For my one, okay. For me, it was Baby Hit Me One More Time, Britney Spears. Oh, my God.
Mine was Ghostbusters 2.
Really big fan of Dan Aykroyd.
No, that very famous scene when Signore Viva at the end when she's all a bit like...
That's not her name.
You called her Signore?
Signore Viva. Signore Viva. I come to make you a beautiful pizza.
This is why it didn't work out between...
Enzo, you're going me all day.
when Miss Viva was all like getting like possessed and that and was all a bit like seductive and that set something off in me when I was like 8 or like like 7.
Trust twist test to like a woman is getting possessed. Jesus Christ.
I was a small child.
Mine.
And it just went, in my head I was like, well, maybe my stomach or whatever the feeling was. Probably not in my dick when I was 7.
No, you can't. Like, you don't quite know where to like, direct it at that point.
Yeah,
you
were like, huh, okay.
The first time I ever understood horny, I must have been about...
Can I just say, how do you pronounce her name?
Sigourney Weaver.
Sigourney. Okay, just for future reference. Yeah. When I retell this story.
We should have said something worse then. We should have been like... Signore.
If I remember on Graham Norton and she sat there, I don't want to be like, I'm Signore over here. Yeah. And she's like, what did you just call me?
Look at Tez with his fucking showbiz problems. Hey, he's been
we're talking about dreams. We're talking about dreams. Realistic dreams.
Jamie,
you can open for me.
Jamie's frozen.
Yeah, Jamie's fucking dial-ups.
He looks like he's really thinking about Signore Viva.
I know, yeah. I think he's going to have to go down the shop and put some more money on his electricity key. Right,
Jamie,
if you need to jump out of the chat and come back in, Jamie, just give it a go if you need. But otherwise, we'll just have his haunting orb of a face there, like the fucking ghostly Teletubby son it is.
It actually looks like us three are paying tribute to him.
sadly deceased.
I reckon Jamie could have, you know, he could have been a contender. You know, he was decent, very, very good.
If he'd ever learned to stick to time, he could have been a hell of a comedian. Like that is a thing. Hello. Yeah, you're sort of on the chat, Jamie.
The ghost of Jamie is trying to communicate.
There's gonna be a chair floating in the background of me in a second, isn't it?
Oh my god, that scared me because I didn't realise you hit the lamp. But the lamp I was like, what?
Look at it go! Oh, I haven't turned that on actually. Look, beautiful. Oh, it's a normal little bit of my set dressing. I normally like a little bit of that. There we go.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Armor now.
Fuck me.
Oh, there you go. You're sort of on, Jamie. Yeah, I've just heard you.
Armor now.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, all right. Just say how am I now over and over again for the rest of this. That should be entertaining content, mate.
Your face is frozen in the perfect place as well.
Jamie, who's the first person you remember being horny for?
My first big one was Stacey Slater from EastEnders.
Jesus Christ.
No, wow.
She looked like she, you know, stunk a bit, but in a good way. And she had like a thing for gingers in her character, so that kind of...
You're like, ah, I might be in here. Yeah.
So
you do keep it very attainable, don't you?
Even though she's acting, it's hard to get that taste off your lips, really.
Once you've gone ginge, you never go.
Yeah. We taste like blonde's gone off. It's a bit like you can't really... escape it.
I imagine gingers just taste like licking an old penny.
Yeah, it's hanging.
Just a little bit coppery.
I know at least two people on this chat that have experience of that. Okay, let's go.
We won't point to who. But Jamie, who are you locked down with, man?
I'm with me mum and my brother.
How's that going?
It's all right. We're on different time patterns, so we don't really see each other. So it's good.
Do you have a time pattern?
I think I just avoid them, and they avoid me. It's a relationship built on hate,
right?
And that's good in a lockdown because there's nothing to lose. We're already no one cares about each other anymore.
Fair enough. So you're just taking the night shift and ignoring them.
Yeah. Because they're both still working as well.
Right.
What do they do?
My mum's a cleaner in a school, but every morning she goes on like she's heading off to Flanders Fields. So like, mum, you're cleaning some stairs, mate. I appreciate it because you're the only one earning at the moment. Wind your neck in a bit. But seriously, respect our frontline staff.
There doesn't have to be a limit. Doesn't there? There has to be a point where we've got to stop applauding.
As a key worker, what? I need to blow up again. I don't think so.
Well, I'll tell you one thing I can do without at the moment. Constantly seeing clips with key workers where they interview them and they'll work in a care home or something and they'll be like, you know what? It's very hard at the moment, but normally it's the best job in the world. It's like Tory Lane's job at the moment is pouring milk on women over the internet. That's what his job is. You wipe asses for a living. That's not the best fucking job.
If you're a key worker in a care home, surely your job's getting a bit easier at the moment.
I mean, I think the numbers are down, but
I'm gonna act like I'm frozen.
It's just a really great way of just sitting out a topic. Yeah. He's actually doing pretty well, to be honest.
People are really good.
Yeah, that's not bad. Hey, Tez, maybe there's a living for you at the Edinburgh Festival after this. Just go stand out on Prince's Street, paint yourself blue. Tell you what are they going to do this year? The human statues. What are they going to do? No one's thought about them. If you feel useless as a comedian right now, imagine you could be a human statue.
They might still be there.
I would watch a live stream of a human statue.
Fuck me, it's got to that point, hasn't it? I think people are that bored.
And just 2 moments of them pressing play, record.
There's probably a reason why they're a human statue. It's probably because they're a bit mentally unwell. But if they were smart, they could probably make some money from that. If you live stream yourself, that's a unique thing. You're like, that's quite that's quite like, funny as well.
There's that sort of stuff bangs online. Like, I remember there was a video of a puddle that got like millions of views.
Oh yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, because people were trying to walk through the puddle or around it, and it was dead funny. There was an icy patch that like people watched for like 48 hours. And to be fair, I watched that for a bit, man. Like, I watched some people fall over.
I love fat people falling over, man. It's just
AKA selfies.
I could.
Jamie's just the happiest man in winter, like, wee!
I can't afford theme parks.
Birds have you.
Just slipping on the stairs, his mum's cleaned.
What's Jamie doing in a school? That's my.
He's definitely not allowed there. That man is not a key worker. like, what's the worst thing you've watched since this has been going on to keep you entertained?
I'm watching people
probably
play
a Living La Vida lockdown.
Go fuck yourself, Ishan. Firstly, I know you've not watched any.
No, he's watching. He means this episode.
This episode in particular, yeah. Like, people are going to be asking themselves some deep existential questions after this. This is by far not the worst thing I've fucking streamed, mate. Like, I've done some outrageous shit on the internet people have watched. Like, what have you been watching, Jamie? What are you saying?
I've been watching people live stream playing online slot machines and 90s episodes of EastEnders.
All right, Jamie wins. Like, people live stream. Like, I cannot think of anything bleaker than watching someone play an online slot machine. Like, it's like when you boys will all know this because you're all comedians. Like, is there anything bleaker than seeing a trucker play a fruit machine in a service station at 2 a.m.?
That's really sad.
Oh, man, it just
bombs
me.
Yes, there is, if she's female.
Oh, you had options. But that, like,
right now I could be watching you sucking cock round the corner of the fucking. I'm joking.
Is my screen frozen again?
I'm just coming back in when this is over. But that, like, it is awful. Like, it is honestly one of the worst things. Like, online slots are the bleakest thing in the world. No one is playing them with any joy. No one is playing an online slot machine, like, playing and going, yeah, like on the adverts. They always have like a sexy couple who are like doing it. They're in a suit, but their bow tie's undone. They're back from the event, right? And they're at home. Yeah. They're drinking champagne. They're like, and they're like celebrating in their high class apartment. And you know, everyone who's playing that is like a middle aged mum in their pajamas, just bleakly losing their fucking doll money. Like,
or a bloke while he's having his shite away from his wife.
Yeah. It's just like, it's bleaker than bookies. How are you doing that?
Well, the thing is, if you were to win and say the jackpot was something amazing like £5,000, you're still in six-figure debt from your gambling problem.
This is it. That's how gambling fucking works, man. I had about 6 months where I was bad with gambling. One of the reasons I stopped drinking is because I would gamble when I was drunk. And yeah, it's not a fucking good way to go, man. Because you get into a pattern where, like, you just like enjoy the playing, even though it's costing you fucking all of your money in the world to do it.
I mainly play.
I was into roulette, man.
I used to work in the bookies, and it was fine at first. I was brought up around gambling, so I fucking love it. I'm obsessed with like horse racing and all that kind of stuff. And I got a job in a bookies. It was like, I thought it was going to be like Vegas, you know, this bookies in Clayton in Manchester. And then you get there and you start doing the job, and they're so cynical, like the managers, in how they want to coerce vulnerable customers onto the roulette machine. It's fucking despicable.
Yeah, man. It's
good fun,
such...
though. It was good. Life experience.
My mum used to work in a bookies, a Muslim woman, and she...
What?
She used to deter people from...
What, when she got her back from, like, cooking fry-ups? Like, what the fuck?
What, your mum was doing God's work? Just in the bookies going, no.
So she worked at the bookies, she worked at William Hill, and every time people would come to place a bet or whatever, I don't know how it works in a bookies, never been, she'd kind of start deterring them, being like, are you sure you want to be doing this, Islamically? And then they'd be like, yeah, you're right, maybe I shouldn't.
Yeah, I can't imagine she lasted long in the job.
Did she say that to only Muslim customers or like to any customer?
Pretty much any customer. So she only lasted 9 months because
that's a good amount of time if you're discouraging customers.
They weren't getting any bets.
Yeah, if I got a job at Aldi and started just going, you should go to Asda to every customer. If I lasted 9 months, that would be incredible.
You stood in the middle aisle like, you don't need a wheelbarrow, put it back.
Yeah.
What did she do after that? Go into bar work.
Yeah, she was actually a pig farmer.
Yeah, so. Yeah. She got a job down the synagogue. man, like, have you guys ever had like proper shit jobs? I've done them all, man. I used to work at Argos on the jewelry counter, and like, I sold, like,
there was. You some... still get discounts there?
Not anymore, man. I got fired. Fuck. I got fired when I was, I think, 16. So I think I might have over. You know, it might be a little while. You know, too
half
long.
Your life ago.
Half my life ago. That's fucking. Thanks for depressing me, mate. Cheers. Brilliant.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And like, you know, half my life, probably about half done as well. But yeah, like I worked at Argos. It was fucking brutal, bad man. But like, it was such a great shit job because no one there gave a fuck except for one manager. So we would all just try and, you know, avoid him and distract him. Like we would, and there's so much shit that you can get away with, like fucking around with at Argos. So we had a golf course set up around the warehouse, and we would go get a golf club and then play the round, or like we'd play cricket, or we'd get big cages and set up a cage and get boxing gloves in it, and just people would have fights. Like there's loads of shit you can get away with.
That sounds like an incredible job.
Yeah, it was, man. For a 15, 16 year old, it was fucking sick, man. I got fired.
In the bookies.
Yeah.
In the bookies, I was manager at like 19, 20.
You managing a bookies. All right, me. Mate. I to be fair, you look like you were born to manage a bookies.
Accelerated management program.
I got my mate a cashier job. So we'd drink on the job. We'd get a bottle of vodka in on a Friday and just get twatted in the shop. It was amazing. And we both end up getting sacked on the same day. And they've shown us CCTV of some of our shifts. And there's one where we've got rolled up posters across the shop floor, both in our swivel chairs, doing like our own Grand National across the shop floor in swivel chairs. And I'm sat on this panel of four people, and they're explaining these videos, trying to get me to explain, and they're saying things like, "Well, do you think this is funny?" And it quite clearly was funny.
objectively. Like,
what are you asking me here? Yes. Of course that's funny. It's even funnier that we're in this meeting discussing it.
I straight out of uni, I got a job at BT call center. But it was like people calling in with like connective, whatever the issues people had with their BT, whatever. And I worked out this trick where the second someone connected to me, I could put them back on hold. So they didn't even realize they'd been connected. Like the music just carried on. I then redialed them back into the system so that they're just back on hold again. And then when someone else picked up to answer their query, I just kept on the line then listening in for like 4 minutes, which was like your average. That's how long you had to like average your waiting times. And then after 4 minutes, I'd hang up and then do another call like that. And I got away with that for 4 months.
That's brilliant, man. I love it when you hack the system in a place. Oh, like
call center places are great. I got put on a final written warning for a customer when I was at Direct Line. So we have to ask questions, obviously, because like postcode is a rating factor for insurance and stuff. And this guy was just utterly abrasive. I was, I'm not giving you that. Joe asking for his postcode. I went, well, I need it. And just utterly argumentative out of every question. What's your email address? Not giving you that. You don't need that. So I went, right, do you want to do it online? He went, no, I want to do it over the phone. Thank you. I went, right, okay. I need these details. So then it got to marital status. So I went, what's your marital status? So I went, I'm not giving you that. You're asking me intrusive questions. Why do you need that? Why do you need that? I'm like, look, mate, I'm reading a script here. Do you know what I mean? Just give me a
break. I'm not an actuary. I didn't say this.
One thing I said that triggered him was when I said, what's your date of birth? He went, I'm not giving you that. Why do you need that? I went, I was going to jump on Moonpig and get you a card. Right. I was trying to break the ice with him. And he didn't see the funny side.
That is funny.
I got to his marital status. I went, can I take your marital status? And he really, he was like, I'm not, this is disgrace. I want to speak to, I went, right, look, you either give me the details or I'll terminate the call. I need your marital status. He went, right, divorce. I went, you're joking.
To be honest, can I just say, in your voice and accent, I wouldn't be willing to give those details. I'm like, who the fuck is this?
Sorry. Me free.
I need your postcode. Your postcode.
Who are you?
Look, mate, give me your fucking details. <Yeah. laughs>
Fucking hell. While you're there, I'll have your fucking phone and all.
Who was that?
Yeah, who was that, Rob?
Rob just did an impression of himself.
Oh, man. I've worked call centers and all that, man. Like, the one that I like fucked the most for Skyving was I worked in like a sales office for like computer hardware, and like it was my job. I was sales admin. I started off as a salesman, but I was bad. But they liked me, so they gave me an easier job, basically. But like, what I was meant to do was, but like, they had this task that took them like 5 hours every day to just like update this list of items going to Amazon, basically. And I was meant to go through line by line and just check all the things and put them in. I found out that I could like just put it in Excel basically and run a couple of like scripts on it, and it would take me 5 minutes. So then I had 6 hours a day to just sit and email comedy promoters and read football blogs. Like, I was so good at skiving and looking busy, they hired me an assistant.
Right. And fucking hell.
Yeah, and when they arrived, because also the key is, if you're looking to skive, learn at least one thing that no one else in the office knows how to do and make out like it's really difficult so they don't bother learning. What I did was customs invoices. I was like, if anyone needed a customs invoice to send something to another country, they came to me. They took me 20 seconds, but I'd act like it was a big deal and it'd take me ages, right? So they hired me.
Were you like...
yeah, it was proper like... Add it to the power, man. I'll get it back to you later today, but I'm swamped. But yeah. And like, okay, do it like that.
Fine.
Yeah, and they hired me an assistant. And like, when she arrived, like, I was like, I took her into a meeting room. I was like, I'm just going to go, you know, talk her through a job role, give her some ideas. I took her in this meeting room and I was like, look, be cool. Like, you don't have a job, just sit it out, we'll be fine. Like, unfortunately, like, she wanted to work and learn, so I think she was pissed.
What? Fuck.
Yeah,
fucking,
I know.
Square.
Yeah, she like wanted a career and like all
what
that.
What a shit sitcom that would have made.
You should have grassed her up, Rob. You went, look, I don't think she's cut out for this.
She's not quite grasping it. She doesn't think there really is a job.
Let me do the hiring for the next one.
Don't forget, this is customs invoicing. I can't have anyone doing this.
Yeah,
I'll do the hiring. Right, so this is my new assistant. This is, Dave the Hat from the pub.
Can you make a coffee and shut up for 8 hours?
To be fair, the people in that job were sound. Like, they kept me on for way longer than they needed to. Like, you know, it was obvious I wasn't really adding anything to the company, but I'm good company in an office, you know, I'm good to have around.
Yeah. That's what got me through as well. I work predominantly in sales roles, and I used to come in half pissed a lot of the time.
I know, I've been out with you, like, when you're like, oh, I'm off to work in 3 hours. It's happened quite a few times that Jamie will just be like, I'm like, Jamie, you can't stand up. He's like, oh.
When I did Camp America, but like 2006, I think, I nearly got sacked halfway through because I just couldn't get up in the mornings. Like, obviously, looking after kids, you got to get up at like 7:30 a.m. or whatever. And there was just one where I overslept and it was 9:30, I woke up and I was going to get sacked until all the other camp counselors intervened and said, if you sack him, we're going to walk.
Yeah, there's power in the union, man.
And then she was like, fine. And then they put me on like this remedial group who like a day group that used to get in at like 11 a.m.
Surely you need more qualifications for looking after them.
No, it was less like they got bust in at 11. Everyone else stayed overnight, but these kids got bust in for 11 a.m. They're like, you can do that one. And I went, yeah, I'll do that one.
Yeah, I was really bad at jobs, man. I got fired from fucking everything. Like,
I'm fucking useless, mate. My problem was as well was I was always pissed in that, but I saw myself as
that is a problem.
Indispensable. Yeah, he's pissed, but he's like Paul Gascoigne. He's a maverick.
I love that he's just liking yourself to Paul Gascoigne.
I know, he sees himself as like the fucking George Best of the call center, don't you?
That's what I thought, and then my manager goes, but your sales stats are absolutely abysmal as well.
Yeah, and like, that's the thing.
Like Paul Gascoigne without the skill or the goals.
Yeah, totally.
So Paul Gascoigne then.
Paul Gascoigne now trying to get into the Spurs first 11. Like, what's going on?
I mean, if you look at Paul Gascoigne's stats, you're like, yeah, it was all right.
Oh, Paul Gascoigne isn't about statistics, dweeb. What the fuck is this? Football's about art.
He had less than a middling career.
Shut your fucking mouth,
considering,
you moron.
Considering you prefer Messi to Ronaldo. Yeah, considering you prefer Messi to Ronaldo.
I'm not talking about his talent. I'm talking about his career.
His career was wonderful, man. Like, anyone who scores that goal against Scotland in Euro 96, it doesn't matter what else you do, you've had an amazing career. Right.
He's kind of immune from statistic criticism. It's like, if you're going to scrutinise it...
Also, the way he played doesn't lend himself to statistics. Like, Gazza might not have been the person who gets the goal or the assist, but he's the person who plays the pass before that. He's the person who made the move happen.
Listen,
he generates things.
Listen, I come over Iniesta on a regular basis. I understand that. And anyone who tells me Gerrard is better than Paul Scholes can go suck a dick. But... He underachieved, of course. He had a couple of fucking issues.
But yeah, Matt Letizia massively underachieved. But yeah, like that but also wasn't as much his fault. Like, England should have been building the team around Letizia.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Just didn't play for a glamorous club.
Gerrard underachieved by all accounts.
I don't know. He just missed out on the league title. He won the Champions League. Like, you know, he personally won the FA Cup a couple of times.
Come on, mate. So did Jimmy fucking Traore.
You can't just use that argument for everything. Well, Jimmy Traore won the Champions League, so...
Buffon hasn't won it. Traore has.
Yeah, there's a lot of anomalies in football. It's a team game.
Buffon's got a World Cup, he'll be fine.
Yeah, like, that's the thing that pisses me off with, like, the whole Messi argument of, like, when people are talking about him in, like, his, like, achievements in all time, they're like, well, he's never won a World Cup. He's like, yeah, but you can't help what generation of players are around you. And he got to three fucking finals.
He captained his team to three finals back-to-back.
He won the World Cup best player in 2014 anyway.
Yeah, he shouldn't have done that, to be fair. Yeah, do what you want, man. Like, yeah, I don't think he should have won the best player at that tournament, though, to be fair. In 2018, he won it. Did Modric get it, actually?
No, 2018 was... I think, was it not one of the French players?
Mbappe.
Was it not Mbappe?
I think Modric might have got player of the tournament, actually, last time, you know?
You know what? If you watch Croatia's games, like, they got away with fucking murder.
Oh, man, they were a great team, though. They were really fucking good.
They had to win two games on penalties, like Russia. Like,
yeah, but Russia were drugged up to the fucking bollocks, mate.
Yeah, fine, but they had to beat someone else on penalties as well. And then they beat a tied England. They were fucking shit, bro.
I don't think they were shit. Like, they dominated the final as well, first half. Like, they were really unlucky.
We missed the opportunity against them. We could have beaten them.
But like, we were lucky as well. We were lucky. But oh man, like, what I would kill to go back to 2018 summer.
It even felt like it in the moment, though.
Yeah, exactly. It felt like how amazing it was. Yeah, Lon, it was like, that's something we'll always be nostalgic for. But, like, the weather, like, just like England, like, feeling good again, wasn't it? Yeah. It was amazing.
I always say, like, a generation above talk about Italy 90. Mm. And I've always thought, is that just nostalgia? When you're part of one.
I remember Euro 96, I remember the feeling around that, but obviously I was a kid, but you could feel how exciting it was. But like, 2018 was the first tournament where it was amazing, and I was like, you know, I'm old enough to know what's happening.
It was just a team of misfits as well, because we've had the golden generation of superstar, like, literally people who are the best players in their position, like Ashley Cole, Terry and whatever.
Yeah, the golden generation underachieved.
Then we've just got this team of
golden generation were also very unlucky, so like
they were very unlucky, but they were also very badly managed a lot of the
time. They were like, in 2002, like, they lost to the best, like, a great Brazilian team in the quarterfinal and gave them a good game. In 2004, 2006, we lost some penalties to a very decent Portugal team. We lost some penalties, so like, They were a bit unlucky, those guys.
But that's, you know, that is how football goes at that sort of level. And like, to be honest, I think if we were managed better and played like a more modern style through those times, rather than clinging on to 4-4-2 for way too long, if
Wenger had been the manager in that period,
different story. Just anyone who wasn't like, we're gonna go 4-4-2 and have no like depth in the midfield, and just it was wasted. We had so many amazing midfielders. Like, the midfield we were playing. Eriksen played Paul Scholes on the fucking wing. What are you doing?
We even had people who couldn't get a sniff of, like, Carrick and
Yeah.
You know, people of that quality who'd walk in the team now.
Yeah, and like much as, you know, I am not, like, as you guys well know, I am not the biggest fan of Man United. But can you imagine if we managed to get a team together where we had Hargreaves and Scholes sitting at the base of the midfield and then like had like Gerrard in front, maybe Cole floating, like just the combinations we could have put together were unreal.
But back then, like, Scholes wasn't really playing that role back in 2002-03.
He kind of
moved deeper as he went.
Yeah, but I mean, more like, you know, you stick someone behind him, you have him as the number eight.
I mean, Hargreaves should have been in the midfield, like 100%.
Yeah, but he played in Germany, so everyone's like, who the fuck's this guy? Even though he's playing for Bayern fucking Munich. It's not like he's out there playing for fucking, you know, like, I don't know, like Leipzig before Red Bull bought him.
Cutbus.
Yeah, exactly, man. Yeah. Fucking Andy McChackler. He's in a proper fucking, you know, top tier team, isn't he?
He's won five league titles in a Champions League.
Yeah.
Why is Scott Parker not playing ahead of him?
Doesn't make any sense.
Scott Parker got that British grit. I hated players like Parker and Barry. You know, he just looked like head boys at the school.
Yeah.
I think that's unfair on Gareth Barry. Gareth Barry had a good range of passing, you know.
Gareth Barry looked all right when you went to Everton and you thought, actually, you know what? This guy's probably not a bad player. He's making
them probably only because he's left footed. If he was right footed, he'd be nowhere, mate.
I'll tell you what happened. Phil Neville somehow looked even worse when he went to Everton. You're like, oh, fucking hell. He's really bad.
Yeah, like limited, I think it's fair to say.
He's got a Champions League medal. What more do you want?
Yeah, but as we've already been through...
Oh, Jimmy Traore.
Yeah.
It was a callback to that, but that's fine.
Oh, sorry. Need to work on your delivery, mate.
I'm kind of moving away from stand-up comedy more into like media engagement and more like...
Yeah, sure, man. You're more of a commentator now, aren't you?
Yeah. Delivery is less important than rhetoric, so...
Matt, how was that going on CNN? Like, how did that all come about?
Mate, it was such a... Like, so I got... It was weird where you get more publicity for like the smallest things that you're part of. So this woman wanted to make a little video giving a shout out to like the immigrant contribution to whatever's happening right now. She asked me to record one line of a poem. And I was like, yeah, cool. I'm happy to do that. It'll take me 5 seconds. I did that, sent it to her. She put it together. This video came out quite nicely, I thought. She put it online. Didn't really get any traction because she's got no followers. I thought I'll ban you online. And then it just went boom. I didn't tell you guys to like retweet it. Like we know, like we didn't. None of that. It just caught people's imagination and went and spread like wildfire.
Yeah.
And then, people just got really interested. And the woman behind it, she did a couple of interviews, but she didn't feel that comfortable behind the in front of the camera. So she asked me to do the CNN one. And then people really liked that as well. But it's like, it's a thing that I've put the least amount of effort in that's got the most amount of like, there's no rhyme or reason for these things.
The internet's crazy with that, man. You know, that's what I like with putting stuff on the internet. That's just part of it, isn't it? You just don't know what's going to do stuff. So you just make loads of stuff and then you hope some of it pops off. And then the good thing with that is, though, like, I think people get discouraged with making stuff online is that, you know, if it doesn't go straight away, they're like, ah, it's a waste of time. Nah, you've left something there that people can find in the future.
Yeah, like a backlog.
Exactly. I'm just like, I put videos out on my YouTube constantly, not especially hoping that they bang, even though my special's up to 20,000 views. Fucking poop.
Yes!
But it's mainly so that when people see something like that, or if a random clip pops off or something like that, when they Google me, there's loads of shit to watch. You know, that's what it is, I think. It's just building that shit up, isn't it? Because like,
also, like, none of us were doing 20 at the Comedy Store after like doing some open mic nights. Like,
yeah,
like this is like you learning how to do the internet is your open mic apprenticeship.
This is it, mate. 100%.
It takes ages.
It's a whole new level. It's a whole new skill. Like, it's exactly like when I first started comparing, because I'm like, oh, I'm already a comedian, so comparing will be just doing that more. No, it took me years to learn that skill and to get it good, right? And it's, you know, you've already got, if you're a comedian, you've already got some base skills, but you need to add all the other stuff. If you are interested in this sort of thing, by the way, check out on my YouTube channel 10 tips for making better content by spending no money. I pop that out today. Little helpful tutorial for people.
Watching that video.
Can you put that link in the group, please? Because that is useful.
Yeah, I will do, man. Like, it's really like a lot of, like, you know, if you're already making stuff, you might know a lot of it, but there are some like practical tips I put in there that I think are useful. Because,
well, I don't make anything.
No, you should though, Jamie. You're very funny.
No,
Jamie, it wasn't for you, Jamie. Don't worry about it.
I didn't even know there was a group. There's a group.
No.
All right, good.
Right, like,
I it's a different tone online.
Yeah, totally. Like, yeah, it's about like not like slamming square pegs in round holes and just doing something that works on the internet. But like, Jamie, legitimate advice, get on TikTok. You've got nothing else to do right now. Fucking start TikTok.
I'm writing a novel.
Are you actually?
Yeah, yeah. I've just done finished my first chapter.
Oh, fair play, mate. All right, I'll take it back. You're actually working then. Fair play, man. You know, I just
assumed... What's the novel about?
Yeah.
What's the novel about?
Back when I worked in a bookies. So it's semi-autobiographical.
Yeah.
Biographical. It's like a local-ish bookies of about 8 shops.
Yeah.
That gets overtaken by a high street branch. And the high street branch are like really cynical and want me to exploit vulnerable customers and things.
That sounds good.
And there's a bit of minge in it as well.
Attainable minge. Realistic.
Yeah. She goes out with a degenerate gambling addict and then finds solace in me.
When this gets made into a sitcom, are you going to see if Sonia Fowler's available?
Dreams can come true, baby. Sure, keep reaching for that rainbow. Oh, that's cool, man. Like, I love seeing what people are doing, though. Like, I really like... I don't want to be like mean to people who are like struggling at the moment, but we've had a few weeks now. You've had time to feel sad. Start making things. I think is the advice I would give to people.
Yeah, so I'm writing.
Ishan's making things. He's made naan bread, chicken tikka masalas. Stop sending for Ishan, Rob. I love it. He's making things every single day.
Numbers are flying on that cholesterol test.
I actually made a spag bol yesterday, making a moussaka today, so...
This is what I'm saying! I'm on... Ishan, don't let him speak to you like that, man.
I thought of an idea for the show, right? Then, I don't know if it was, like, a real light bulb creative spark, or I'm just going fucking mental. it's about, like, the butterfly effect, and it's me not being able to flush a toilet in my mate's house, and it overflowed. And then because of my anxiety that he'll tell everyone, I ostracize myself from my own friendship group, which leads on to me getting into booze and then into drugs and then into rehab and stuff like that. And I'd all from a flush toilet. And I thought of it like 5 in the morning the other day.
Yeah.
And I thought, this is fucking mind blowing. This is fucking, this is Perrier stuff, this. And then when like the cold light day, I'm like, what the fuck am I on about fucking flushing toilets and stuff?
Mate, I've seen worse at Edinburgh, man. If you want to do a narrative show, then yeah, like why not?
No, because it's like the cogs are turning, but it's just like the fuel going in is shite.
Yeah, mate, it's really hard to get inspiration for shit at the moment because like you're just seeing the same shit all day.
I've not written any stand-up.
Nah.
No, I've written a little bit, but I just go off like people I've met in work and stuff like that, so... Like an interaction that I would have in work, and then I'll go, oh, there's something there, and I'll exaggerate that into a bit. That's how I write. Like, I just come up with stuff, really.
No, that's it, man. Like, I do a lot of that as well. Like, a lot of like, someone will say something like I think is fucking stupid, and then I won't say anything to them at the time. I will, you know, I will go home and I'll think about that stupid thing they said and imagine the conversation that could have occurred. Like, I do a lot of that. Yeah. But I'm not having weird conversation with people. Like, I'm seeing like a lot of mad tweets, luckily. I'm storing up premises. That I've got a few.
Yeah.
I can't write without doing comedy. I just can't. Like,
oh, no. I'm the same. I get a massive bit and then just chisel it down on stage. And like,
you don't chisel it down. Every one of Jamie's bits is like 45 minutes, and like that's mainly, and it's 50% pauses as well. Like honestly, he is just chubby Lomas. That's all it is.
I do love a 14 pause, mate.
Right, so just quickly on the background, I've got the chase on, and this guy called Ollie has absolutely pissed all the money. Up the wall. They had 9 grand. They've now got 4 because he got so many questions wrong.
Like,
and the rest of his team are like, you fucking cunt.
See, the best shithousing TV show was Golden Balls.
Oh, mate, that show used to drive me mental, man. I fantasize about being in that moment with someone who fucks me over, and like it would make me more angry than anything else. Like,
is that the one when they split the
thing? Oh, yeah,
that is. The so, best.
For anyone who doesn't know who's watching, basically, at the end of they accumulate money with a really convoluted, stupid fucking game. Right, so the game itself is so bad. Right, no one gives a fuck about the first 45 minutes of the show. It's bollocks. Right, it's Jasper Carrot doing a dog shit game. It's terrible. But the real juice is the last 10 minutes, where basically all the money that's accumulated, the two contestants who are left, they sit face to face and they choose to split or steal. If both of them split, they get half each. If one splits and one steals, the one who steals gets it. If they both steal, no one gets anything. Now, my strategy, I worked out my strategy. This is what I would do on it, right? I would sit down, and as soon as the timer starts, where you get to discuss what you're going to do, I would look them in the eye and I'd say, I'm stealing. I am stealing 100 fucking percent no matter what you do. If you choose split, I will give you half.
That's what my strategy would be. I thought about it as well.
Yeah.
Someone's done that.
Yeah, I saw it and it worked, didn't it?
Yeah.
I think that's the move because then you've got insurance. If they steal, fuck it. Well, yeah, you fucked it for both of us. Right.
Did you see the girl on it who really pulled on the heartstrings and stuff and said,
that was the best one.
She was a hate figure in her local village.
Good. She's an awful, awful cunt. What a horrible thing to do to someone. Like, honestly, like, I don't condone violence to women except her.
Right? But, no, she played the game and she won. Good for her. Yeah,
you know, one of the guys who did it is an open mic comic in London, Steve McLean. He stole.
Shit. Of course an open mic comic stole.
I know Steve McLean. What did he do?
He did a steal, but he did the pull on her heartstrings and then just fucking stole the thing.
Oh, I couldn't live with myself.
There's a video of it online.
I love watching it when they steal.
Oh, mate, it does. Honestly, if I see someone steal on that show, I'm angry for the rest of the day. Like, genuinely, it enrages me so much. Like, it gets me.
I just love the shithousing. I love shithouse footballers like Ramos and that.
Yeah,
well.
Man, I love that. Like, I just love, like, winding up on that. Tell you my favourite ever, like, weird, like, TV show from a few years ago. Man, I loved Secret Eaters. Oh, man, I still watch repeats of that every now and again. Because it delights me. Every episode, it starts with someone who's enormous going, I don't know what happened. I only ate salad, right? I don't know why I'm so fat. I must be a medical mystery. And then, right, what gets me with it is then they follow them for a week to see what they actually eat. And they're always just like, blah, 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 with cakes and McDonald's, like you'd fucking expect. And then they confront them and they go, oh, yeah, no, do eat stuff secretly. It's like, right, after season one, you know you're getting tracked for the whole week, right? You know that. Just for 1 week, if you manage not to pie your face, for the rest of your life, everyone will leave you alone as a medical mystery, right? You can just go, I don't know, we went on Secret Eaters, I ate my normal food, and, you know, blah, blah. You can do that. But they can't last one fucking week without sneaking off to a KFC thinking they'll get away with it.
My, there's a friend of the family, his son, was on Fussy Eaters. It was on, like, BBC Three or something.
Yeah, I remember Fussy Eaters.
He had like a, I can't remember, he had a weird, he only ate spaghetti hoops.
I've seen this episode, 100%.
And he was like, he's going on now, it's like harrowing, do you know what I mean? And he got ripped in work, the dad got rinsed in work, because do you remember Harry Hill's TV Burt?
Yeah.
It was a bit like screen wipe for simpletons. He went, I just don't know how I'm going to ever get over this. And then it cut to Harry Hill spelling out, grow up. So there was leaving tins of spaghetti in this lad's locker for fucking months.
I was always really envious of watching like kids shows when I was younger. You know, like Funhouse and all that.
I really wanted to go on.
How are these fucking kids getting on that? I didn't know anyone. No one from my hometown ever went on anything like
50-50 and all.
None of that
I didn't get on any of that. The big breakfast filmed on my street when I was a kid. They came to my estate,
really?
Filmed on my street. Yeah. My mum made me go to school. Right, like the Big Breakfast were on my street. They used to go and do episodes from like a random like council estate basically every time.
Yeah.
And yeah, they were on my estate in Knaresbridge, like literally the end of my fucking road. There was like Johnny Vaughan and Denise Van Outen, but I had to go to fucking school. Like it was unreal.
I watched Corrie getting filmed in an allotment near ours.
This does not surprise me.
And I went up to go and watch it, and I stood there in the pissing rain, and all I wanted was Tyrone Dobbs's autograph, and he turned me down. Even at like 9 years old, I was like, you know. De Niro, mate.
So even then, at that age, your accent was threatening to everyone. They were like, who the fuck are you?
Give me your fucking autograph.
You're Kevin's mate from the garage. And Vera, Liz Dawn, who played Vera, she bollocked him in front of loads of people.
Wow, for not giving you his autograph?
Yeah, and then he signed on a piece of paper, and that's the only autograph I ever had.
I once... I once signed Gareth Gates' signature for someone. I was doing security, and and he was performing. It was like some Arts in the Park bullshit in Bradford, and he went off. And then all these girls were screaming in the front. And then one of them goes, "Oh, is he back then?" And I was like, yeah, he's back there. I was only like 17 myself. And she goes, "Do you reckon we could get us Gareth Gates' signature?" And I went, "Yeah, but like for money." And then she gave me a tenner. She gave me a poster of his. I went back and I signed it.
And oh, mate.
That's Gareth Gates' signature.
I really hope she's watching this now. Like,
did you do the signature with a stutter as well? Like,
I think I just wrote Gareth Gates and then did a couple of these. And that was top shithousery, I thought.
That is good shithousery.
That's fucking great, man. I've got the entire Leeds United 97-98 squad team photo signed up there. Like, I got that one.
Gary Kelly?
Yeah, he's on there, mate, yeah.
My hero?
Yeah, you're a little bit of a fan. We were doing that game, like, last week, like, you know, where you got to pick a team of players where none of them are from the same country or have ever played for the same club. Yeah, yeah. It does get hard.
It gets really hard.
It seems like it'll be easy. It took me 2 days to get mine.
It gets really hard.
What's weird is how utterly attached you become to your team.
Like, yeah, man. I will defend it to the fucking death.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, like, can you remember yours? I can remember mine off the top of my head, I think.
I'm on 5% battery.
All right. Yeah, tell you what, man. Let's wrap this up around here, actually. We've done about an hour. Let's do that, man. Let's bail it here before you fucking buzz off, man. Before we do, we'll go around. Tell the people watching about yourself, like where they can find you, all that sort of shit. We'll start with you, Tez, mate. Tell them about yourself.
I'm Tez Ilias. You'll see me on all stuff like CNN, BBC News, French 24, like all that stuff.
RT, Al Jazeera.
Probably Fox News in a couple of weeks, I reckon. At Tez Ilias everywhere on your socials, and just support my stuff.
Yeah, do that. Good one. Nice one, man. Thanks for coming on, and like, come back anytime, obviously.
Thank you for having me.
Always a pleasure, mate. Jamie, tell them about yourselves, mate, where you can find you.
My name's Jamie. You can catch me on PokerStars almost every night. My novel will be coming out in probably 2023, self-published for free.
As a PDF.
Coming to a Kindle near you. nice one, man. Thanks for coming on, mate. Yeah, and come back on. It'd be great. Oh, all right. And Ishan, mate, tell them about yourself.
I'm at Ishan Akbar. You'll find me on the next series of Secret Eaters. Follow me on socials. You'll see all my activity there.
Beautiful. Like, thanks for coming on, guys. It's been a pleasure as ever. Like, if you've watched this far, then, you know, chuck some money to the Trussell Trust. They're doing great work at the moment, so like, that's what we're asking for donations for. Also, you can watch my comedy special. It's got a little link will pop up in a second. Give that a watch because it's bloody good. In the meantime, I'm back every day 4:20 tomorrow. I can't remember who the fuck I've got on the show tomorrow. The lineups are great every day, so just come watch it live every day. Check out old episodes, all that sort of shit. In the meantime, this has been Living La Vida Lockdown. Thank you very much, guys. We'll see you later. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye.